Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Jesse Tapia is joining me. Kyle Madsen will be here in just a little bit for the handoff. He is going to hang out with Kenny Caraway all day.
From AM and KC.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting day of a little bit of a mix-up here at ESPN 1320. While Damian's out, we're just going to hang out. And
these guys just taking time off after their birthdays, James. About as selfish as it gets, man.
I know. What's up with that, man? Just everyone taking time off.
Oh, shout out. Shout out to Dame.
Yeah, Damian had a big birthday last week. Kyle had a big birthday last week. If you want to take a day off for your birthday, 2 days off for your birthday, that's fine.
Take a week off. I don't care.
Take a week off.
Take the whole year off.
We'll figure it out, right, Jesse?
Yeah.
Sweet.
That's what we do here at Odyssey.
We just take days off.
Well, no, we figure it out.
We do. We figure it out on the fly. Joe Brazil is not with us today either. He is busy doing one of his multiple jobs
here. He's busy being a porn.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got all kinds of things going on. Jesse, the A's, they went out and they took two out of three against the Angels. They had, I think, were 0-7 against the Angels coming into this weekend. They looked really good against the Angels, Chris Ochoa's Angels. There's something that's happening here with this team that I think is actually really fun. Like, first of all, they are really exciting to watch. They are. Like, good or bad, it's kind of like a whirlwind, and you never really know what you're going to get. But they got four guys who are crushing home runs, and they seem to keep taking turns, like, who's going to be crazy hot for a long stretch. And now, I think that there's like, an internal competition. Like, Shea Langeliers is up to 26 home runs. We've got 25 for Nick Kurtz, 25 for Brent Rooker, and 22 for Tyler Soderstrom.
Soderstrom got off to a hot start early in the season, too.
Yeah, I mean, he started off with 9, but you know what? Like, he went through some highs and lows, especially when they put him in left field. Really took a lot to get him back in line and kind of figuring things out. I think he's played the second half of the season. He's been much, much better. He just looked more comfortable. And a lot of that is, you know, when you're trying a new position, it's in your head. You're thinking way too much.
Yeah.
And you make a mistake. You know, you let a ball loose in the outfield or there's a couple of balls that felt like he could have robbed.
Well, yeah, baseball is a big mental game. So if you're just not there and just completely locked in, yeah, when you go up to the plate, you're done.
Yeah, we talked about it early on too. He had 14 home runs at one point, and 13 of them came when he was playing first base before they pulled Nick Kurtz up. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they put him in left field, he stopped hitting for power. And it was just, you know, again, too dramatic of a change for him. He never played left field ever, and all of a sudden he's playing it at the big league level. And like, hat tip to him for figuring it out. But again, he's in the hunt here, because the way the A's heat up individually, it feels like anyone could get to 30 first. And I bring it up because the Giants probably still won't have a 30 home run hitter, and the A's are probably at least going to have three guys that are really, really close. And I'm going to guess they'll have at least three that hit 30.
Yeah, I'd say at least three of them do. I wanted to say all four of them get there, but at least three of them. I'll take the safe way there.
Okay.
The A's are set up pretty good for next season.
Yeah.
It's the A's. Okay, so we'll see. But you had a couple of starting pitchers here, a little few of them there, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you add what you need, it's like you could be talking about a playoff team next season, I feel like.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, they've brought up a couple of young pitchers to give them a shot, mm-hmm, to give them a taste of the big leagues. They've also, you know, like, stuck with Jacob Lopez through like some ups and downs, and all of a sudden, I don't think he's let up a run in four straight starts.
Yeah,
like, he's pitching extremely well. Severino, of course, is on the DL. I don't know if we'll see him again this season or not. I don't know if we'll see him in an A's uniform again. You just have no idea with the offseason and everything. But it does feel like they're the back of their bullpen without Mason Miller. They're starting to accumulate like a little trio of guys that are fun and throw major, major heat. So I think that's a big thing. But overall, it does feel like this team is primed for a massive, massive breakout season next year.
Yeah. So. Yeah, count of Monte Crypto. Yes, I said playoffs, but I also said they need starting pitching. I'm not crazy. If these young superstars right here kind of develop as they're going and just they're hitting bombs in that lineup, then that's going to be a solid team next season.
Well, I think they need starting pitching, and I think they probably need a couple of relievers to get them through. Like, I think that that's where they really cheaped out this year. And what they signed Leclerc to, like, a decent contract, and then he, of course, got hurt, and he's done. Barely pitched at all. If you sign one or two more of that type of guy, though, the guy that has experience and can anchor, whether it's the eighth or the seventh or the ninth, whatever it is, if he has an inning that he's really good at, that would really help this team. Because early on in the season, they just had a bunch of games where as soon as you went to the bullpen, you know, four runs were put up on the board and the game's over.
Yeah, I think I saw that recently. They've won like 17 out of 21 or something like that. I'll have to look it up. But.
Yeah, they're motoring. It's that one stretch where they lost like 20 out of 21 that they killed their season. So, yeah, if it wasn't for that, it still feels like they would, I mean, they wouldn't be a high-tier playoff team, but they'd be a team right on the cusp.
Yep.
And it really does feel like as they're getting towards the end of this year, they're starting to roll. Langeliers has been unbelievable in August. Like, unbelievable. So, and that's coming off of the month that Nick Kurtz had where he was, like, player of the month.
Vibes are a little up over here, a little down in San Francisco.
They are a little down. A
lot of down.
Yeah, the Giants picked up a win. They're at 60-64. Of course, that's not good.
Yeah, I'm going to be real. Like, their season's already over. I'm not sure if Giants fans are like, oh, they're six games out of the wild card spot. Maybe they can make a run. Like, this team is cooked. I think best case scenario, they're 500 ball club at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, if that, I don't know if that they'll finish at 500. I mean, what do they got left? They're 124 games played. So 38 games left, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, so I don't know how that last stretch is going to go for them, but it sure does feel like they're just totally petering out.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know if Bob Melvin's going to be back next season. I feel like I've seen a lot of Giants fans calling for him to be gone this season already, but I don't know what that's doing if you let him go midseason.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to help you. Yeah. It does feel like they're just kind of marching towards the end here. And yeah, I know a lot of people have been on Bob Melvin, and you know, like, he's got to get the troops ready. Like, they're not fighting hard enough, all that stuff. And then I saw Mike Wagaman, one of our friends in the media, tweet out, you know, like, you can blame Bob Melvin for a lot of things, but he didn't just strike out looking multiple times.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. So, yeah, very, very tough look. Then we had this craziness. Victor Robles. Robles?
Victor Robles.
Yeah.
The most wild man on the planet.
I guess. Yeah, so he's on a rehab assignment with the, well, he plays for the Mariners, but he's on a rehab assignment. And this is against, I believe it's the A's AAA team, because this is Joey Estes pitching. You got the tape? You going to roll it?
Oh, yeah, we're going to roll it right now.
We're going to roll it.
Right-hand batting right fielder lined out to Halter at third back in inning number one. And the first pitch from Estes swung on and fouled off on a pitch that hit him.
Look at that.
He picks up the bat and throws it at Estes. Ooh. He's been tossed.
What's your deal, pal? What'd you hit me for?
He down to Halter at third back in inning number one.
One more time.
The first pitch from Estes.
Boom.
Swung on and fouled off on a pitch that hit him. He picks up the bat and throws it at Estes. He's been tossed.
He looks at Estes like you're the crazy guy. What did you hit me for?
Oh.
After he throws the bat, he's like, yeah, what's your deal?
Yeah, to me, this is crazy because, like, look, first of all, like, the pitch was inside without any question. And you could tell that it wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
I guess he's been hit three times in the last four games or four times in the last three games. I'm not sure if that's
because he's within 15 at-bats, too.
Yeah, I don't know if he's crowding the plate or whatever, but he's on a rehab assignment, and he swung at the pitch. That's the problem that he has. It's not even a, you know, it's not an HBP. It doesn't matter. You swung at the pitch and it hits him right in the chest. Throwing the bat, though, is wild.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. That's insane. You got to suspend him for like the rest of the season or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
You cannot throw the baseball bat at the pitcher. That's just not okay. You can't do that. You can't grab the bat and swing it at, throw it at him. Like, that's just, like, what are we supposed to do for the MLB or whoever calls out suspensions.
Yeah. So basically, if you haven't seen the clip,
because
he dropped the bat in the middle of getting hit as he's swinging. Then he reaches down. He's still at home plate, so he didn't run like halfway to the pitcher's mound to hurl the bat, but he hurled the bat at the pitcher. Just crazy. And then the umpire steps in, starts pushing the umpire. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. And I do believe he's gonna have a little bit of trouble.
He wasn't done, by the way. Hold on.
My goodness.
Believe this is a bag of seeds?
Now things begin to get a bit seedy.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
So now the Aviators.
So yeah, he wasn't done after he threw the bat. He was still pissed off.
So he decided to clear out the dugout of everything.
Yes.
So sunflower seeds all over the field. Bags of sunflower seeds, ice chests thrown. It was chaos.
There's nothing better than a good, I guess, MLB or just baseball meltdown. I guess Lou Piniella is always just one that comes to mind for me.
Yeah, Lou Piniella or the crazy fight with the Giants, Giants-Cardinals, right? I think that's where it was. Maybe. Years ago. Or the Robin Ventura, like, going
Pedro,
out.
Pedro Martinez,
Robin Ventura got destroyed by an old
Nolan Ryan. Threw him in a headlock and started punching him in his face.
Yeah, just absolutely.
Who was the guy that Pedro Martinez threw down? The old man, the Yankee guy. Why am I misremembering his name?
Ooh,
Don Zimmer.
Don Zimmer. Yeah. That's right.
That was insane. I remember as an 8-year-old, I think, around there, Pedro Martinez just come here, old man. He just threw him on the ground. I was like, oh my gosh,
that was not okay. Yeah, because Don Zimmer was like,
yes, Pedro, got to be better. Also, Don Zimmer, relax, pal.
Yeah, he was a little amped up.
Yeah, you can't be doing that.
He was a...
In the height of Red Sox Yankees.
Yeah, hit the height of Red Sox Yankees, which has gone on forever. But
yes.
Oh, wow, Don Zimmer. RIP Don Zimmer.
Sydney Dean says Zimmer charged him. I mean...
Yeah, but...
Kyle Madsen, I think, vouching for that in the studio.
Yeah, you just got to kind of like hold him at arm's bay. Like, come on, man. I mean, Don Zimmer was a special.
Yeah, he was an old man, James. That's what he was. Like, you can't, like, yeah, that's what he, I get it.
Well, yeah, but, you know, he's got that, he still had, like, the, like, piss and vinegar in him. He's, like, running out there, like, oh, no, I'm ready to fight, but.
And I bet you he never charged anyone after that again in Dana's life.
No, that's probably true. That's probably true. I don't know. He's someone that feels like he would do that again.
Maybe.
Yeah. So definitely one of those scenes that just didn't look good. I'm expecting Victor Robles to get at least 10 games, maybe more.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I guess I was being harsh saying to spend on the rest of the season, but I figure throwing your baseball bat at the pitcher is kind of an insane thing to do.
Yeah, he definitely did not... Like when he threw the bat, I mean, it's not like he violently hit somebody.
Have you ever had a Victor Robles moment growing up playing sports, James?
Where I lost my mind?
Yeah, you ever lose your temper?
I told the story once. Yes. Yeah.
What happened? What sport was this?
I was thrown out of a basketball league game.
As a parent or as a player?
As a player.
Okay. What happened?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I can't remember.
You just blacked out?
The officiating was horrific.
Yeah.
And we felt like we were being jobbed. And, I lost my cool. Like, I'm a redhead,
did you curse him out or what?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, James. What happened?
And I believe it was a church league game, which I may have dropped some F-bombs.
See, no, okay, now it's coming out. Now the story comes out. Yeah,
I got dragged off the court.
I thought maybe this was high school or middle school basketball. No, James Hamm in his church league.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've also with the calls from the referee.
I've also played in church leagues where guys are threatening to go get their gat at halftime, and you're like,
church leagues, do you play in?
Like, what is happening here? I don't even know what's happening. That was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, your stories are a bit wilder than mine. I almost got thrown out of a baseball game once. I don't know if I told the story on here, D'Lo and KC, or ever told it.
But yeah?
My best friend was pitching, played at a different school. He hits me in the elbow. The umpire says I leaned into it. Very next pitch, I get hit in the head, and I tell the umpire, I was smart with him. Like, oh, I leaned into that one, too? He's like, young man, if you don't go take your base before I throw you out, blah, blah, blah. I never done that before in my life, so I kind of caught myself. I was like, oh, you need to relax.
You talk back?
Yeah, I'm pretty nice kid and all that growing up. Yeah. I was like, oh, I caught myself. I was like, oh, chill out.
We had a situation playing softball where a guy, he got to second base, and I wasn't paying attention, and he told our shortstop, hey, next time I get up, I'm going to hit your pitcher. I'm going to hit a line drive up the middle and hit your pitcher. And I didn't hear him say it, but he said it to our shortstop. And the shortstop's like, hey, man, dude, this is Tuesday night softball. Like, what are you doing, man? We all have to work tomorrow. Anyway, next time he got up, the shortstop goes, hey, he said he's going to hit the pitcher next time he gets up. Next pitch, crack, line drive up the middle, hits our pitcher in the arm. The ball's rolling. Me and the shortstop were at first base about the same time that guy was at first base. We were not happy at all and ready to drag that dude out in the street.
I was like, yeah, people got jobs to go
to.
Yeah. Like
you got jobs to go to, and, you know, I do, I've always been a trash talker. I talk a certain amount of trash.
There's some fire behind you, James. I could tell.
Yeah, like playing volleyball, like
you come off as pretty mellow and stuff on the radio, but
don't
cross Jamestown.
Yeah. No, I can get a little bit intense. Yeah. Especially with sports. Like I love playing sports and but definitely volleyball, you sit there and talk trash the whole time. Yeah. That's the game. I mean, like you're trash talking every single moment that you're on the court, especially when you're playing doubles and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and in softball, like there's been multiple times where we've almost gotten fights. We beat a team and we advanced to the playoffs, but a second game the same night, and we went to give high fives, and a guy yelled something like, I can't believe we lost to those bleeps.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, yeah, that's twice you lost to us this season. And then he said, hey, I'll meet you in the parking lot. I said, nope.
All right, guy.
I said, I got another game to play. Sorry, bro.
Oh, and I bet he felt like an idiot after that.
No, he was angry and his teammates had to pull him back.
You're telling me to meet you in the parking lot because I told you we beat you in softball?
Yeah.
Hey, we beat you in softball twice and now you want to go meet in the parking lot.
Yeah, not good.
Right. Is this a fair comp right here? Eric Eskimo on the chat says, James Draymond Ham?
No, because I'm normally chill.
I don't know. You say that, James, but... You got thrown out of a church league once.
I did.
That's not chill.
I'm trying to think. What else have I ever been thrown at? Well, I mean, I certainly have gotten yellow cards from the sideline soccer with my sons playing. Mm.
That's tough.
I think I got a yellow card this last year. Yeah. And a threat of a red card. And then afterwards, the official apologized to the coaches because he missed a call. Someone showed him the video after the game and he apologized. Said, oh my gosh, I fully missed that. My bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way, I still got a yellow card. It happens. All right. Well, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're gonna jump into a couple of different topics, including Bill Barnwell has the 5 teams most likely to improve in the NFL this season. And there's a team on there that I am not sure should be on this list. We're the Insiders. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320. Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Jesse Tapia joining me today. We will have the handoff coming up in about 25 minutes. Kyle Madsen and Kenny Caraway will join us. D'Lo is out today. Kyle is filling in for Damian in the afternoon. And so we're just kind of moving things around, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, making sure we all got the shows are all pretty much ready to go.
Yeah, we're adaptable. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always nice we have multiple people I can talk on the radio here.
Yeah, versatility. Versatility is key.
I don't know how many times we've done Kyle and KC before, too. I know we've done it before, but...
Yeah, I don't know
it'll
either.
It'll be a fun 4 hours.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So, and that's going to be today and tomorrow. We're going to do the same thing. Bill Barnwell, ESPN. Very, very good writer. He has his list of 5 teams most likely to improve this season and to really take this gigantic leap. And a lot of the teams on this list make a lot of sense to me. So, you know, the Raiders, you know, of course, they added Pete Carroll. They went out and got a new quarterback. You know, they drafted a top-tier running back. They're building around Brock Bowers, all this stuff. So I can see the Raiders being a team that, you know, didn't win a lot of games last year and could take a giant leap forward.
I got my eye on the Raiders this year.
I think so, too.
They'll be around 8-9 wins-ish, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe 7 is the floor and things like that, but they'll be a decent team, I think, with Pete Carroll there.
I think so, too. The next team is the Bears. And to be honest with you, the Bears have, one of the most exciting young quarterback prospects. They've got great offensive teams. What's that?
So that's what they tell us.
That's what they keep telling us, yeah. And then they have a new head coach, right? Ben Johnson. So yeah. I think there are a lot of people who are super high on the Raiders this year. And I don't know what that means, super high on the Raiders, because you're in a division that's going to be extreme. I mean, the Bears.
It's probably if we're going with the Bears, I mean, that's a playoff team if Caleb Williams is a good quarterback this year, if he takes a step forward.
You think
they've
so, though?
They've got everything they need. It's just a matter of, like, you got, like, Matt Eberflus is a horrible head coach. He was just bad all around.
Yeah.
All right, call it what it is. Now you got Ben Johnson in there. Kind of, he's going to help out Caleb Williams. And if Caleb Williams is just a little bit of what they've said, like, they've got a really good squad there.
Yeah, but you're in a division. I'm going to put them in the same category as I will the Raiders, right? Even if they have a good season, they're in a division with Detroit, Minnesota, and Green Bay. That's 15-2, 14-3, and 11-6.
One of those teams, though, their quarterback's in Seattle now. We don't know what J.J. McCarthy's going to be this season.
Okay.
Jordan Love and the Packers. I love Jordan Love. I think he's a great quarterback, but are we really like, oh, yeah, they're going to be like that much better than the Bears? Detroit's the one where it's like, okay, we can talk about Detroit. Detroit's the one where they're the favorites to win the division, but I think the Bears could fight for a second.
Okay. Well, and the reason I bring up the Raiders is because, you know, again, they went 4-13 last year, and they've got Kansas City at 15-2, the Chargers at 11-6, and they're going into their second season with Jim Harbaugh as the head coach. And then they've got Denver at 10-7, and everyone believes Denver has one of the best, if not the best, defense in the NFL right now.
Yep.
And they're an up-and-coming team. And, you know, again, at 10-7, you're looking at a bunch of teams just to match where Denver was last season. The Raiders have to win 6 more games. That seems like a very, very tall task.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but this is also just the most likely to improve list. Like, they went 1-4, you said last year?
Yeah, they went 4.
You get them to 8 games or 8 wins or 9 wins, that's a big improvement.
No, that's true. You get to 6, that's a big improvement.
Oh, yeah, that's still an improvement.
50% more games, Jesse. That's a lot.
I think Bill, though, with the Bears, is expecting that improvement to probably be in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's kind of there, like, with potential to go somewhere.
Yeah, you got another team here that makes absolutely no sense to me, but let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about the Giants. The Giants are in the same tier where they went 3-14 last year, along with the, you know, 5-12 Bears, the 4-13 Raiders. But they've got the New York Giants as a team that could improve.
Drafted Jackson Dart this season. Russell Wilson's going to be the starter, though.
Yeah, but do you buy this team at all?
No, gosh, no. They're going to be horrible, I think.
Yeah,
I think
so
Brian Daboll is probably going to get fired.
Okay.
The head coach.
Yeah, so
I don't like the Giants at all. I don't get this one.
I mean, I do like neighbors.
Maybe he believes that Jackson Dart. I don't. I'll guarantee right now, like, Russell Wilson does not finish out the season with the Giants as far as being their starting quarterback. So maybe he's bought in on Jackson Dart. I think he looked pretty good in their last preseason game over the weekend.
Okay.
Maybe that's where he sees it, but if that's not happening, they're going to be top of the draft near there again.
Yeah, I think it's very possible that they're, I mean, even if they do improve like a 4 or 5 win team, I don't know that they're going to take some big leap. And again, they're in a division that's not very easy.
They're comfortably the worst team in the NFC East.
Yeah, yeah. I do like Neighbors, though. Neighbors last year had 109 catches for 1,204 yards and 7 touchdowns as a rookie.
Yeah, didn't have a great quarterback situation last year, but he's one of those wide receivers who's just going to stand up.
Yeah, he did all of that in only 15 games and with a horrible group of quarterbacks. So I have some faith that he's going to take a big jump. I think Scadaboo is there.
Yeah, fourth round pick.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's a potential, like, especially goal line back. I'm excited to see what he has. But I'm not putting the Giants on any list of teams that could improve greatly. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it either. I'd say, like, I'd put more money on them getting worse.
Yeah.
If I had to put it on either or.
The next team he has on this list is the Jacksonville Jaguars. How many years do the Jacksonville Jaguars get to be put on a list like this?
We're going on year 5 or 6. I don't know how long Trevor Lawrence been in the league for.
It's been a long time. Yeah.
If it's not this year, then I'm sorry, I'm over it. It's not the Jags, it's Trevor Lawrence, if it's not this year.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence at this point, he's 22-38 as a starting quarterback, and that's not fair because he had a 3-14 season.
Okay, yeah, he had an Urban Meyer year in there.
But he had a 9-8, he had an 8-8, and then he had a 2-8. He was 2-8 as a starter last year before getting hurt. And at some point, you're just like looking around like, hey, man.
Well, he told us so many times he's the next greatest prospect since Andrew Luck, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, he's a very Derek Carr quarterback right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's just like, yes, there's talent there, but nothing's ever really been put together.
Yeah, and his nickname on Pro Football, Pro Football Reference. What would be your guess?
What is the dude? Isn't there a guy with long hair from Remember the Titans? Sunshine or something like that?
Maybe.
Is that maybe Trevor Lawrence's?
No.
What is it?
His nickname is the Prince Who Was Promised. Like, what? What?
I hate him even more.
Like, boo!
Who approves this at Pro Football at the references? All right, a basketball reference, Pro Football reference. Approves this at the reference places?
Kyle did do the. He reached out and figured out who did this, and I can't remember what the answer is. So when he comes in for the handoff, we'll ask him.
Yeah, is the Prince Who Was Promised?
Yes, the Prince Who Was Promised.
I'm gonna look up on the internet Trevor Lawrence, the Prince Who Was Promised, and we're gonna see who's ever called him that ever in the history of ever.
Okay.
All right.
And then we need to call those people out.
Yeah, because that's one of the worst nicknames I've ever heard in my life.
This is one team that I do believe, because of their division, they've got Houston, they've got Indiana, they've got Tennessee in their division. Tennessee, of course, was 3-14 last year. This is a team that could easily improve just by not being horrible. Like, we're just not completely ridiculously bad at football, and they could take a leap from 4 to 10 games.
Real quick, on this Trevor Lawrence thing, it's just a bunch of people like, it's popping up. I don't know who called him that, but it's just, yeah, people, he's the Prince Who Was Promised coming out of Clemson. People called him that, and I'm trying to figure out who, and all it says is like, yeah, people called him that.
Like who?
Exactly.
Who tells you that?
There's no one. People just went along with it, I guess, but whatever. I mean, getting back to the 49ers, though.
I guess. Okay, so that's the other team. Bill Barnwell on this list. He puts the 49ers, and like, look, first and foremost, the 49ers were not good last season.
Yeah,
right?
They went 6-11.
They went 6-11, right? But man, there's a lot of teams like New Orleans, Carolina, who are 5-win teams. Again, New England 4-13. The Jets were 5-12. You know, Tennessee 3-14. Like, there are a bunch of bad teams in the NFL.
Yeah,
this almost feels like a cheating if you're gonna put the 49ers in there.
It's
I mean, they went to the Super Bowl the year before.
But it's kind of, well, yeah, but they went 6-11 last year. And if you're looking at this season, like, that's it's kind of easy given their schedule. But I mean, they still got to get the job done. No.
Well, no, I get
mean,
because
like we're expecting them to be a lot better. But also, let's be real, their wide receiver room kind of, it's a big question mark right now.
Oh no, it's a horrible mess.
Yeah, like Ricky Pearsall, he looked good on Saturday. And you're expecting a little bit more from the season. We'll see, but that's just thoughts as of right now. That's not anything real.
No, Juwan we have
Jennings
no
is,
idea.
Yeah, Juwan Jennings is dealing with his injury right now. We don't know if he's going to be ready to go.
Yeah.
And
Ayuk's out at least five or 6 weeks.
At least.
At a minimum, and we don't even know what he'll look like.
On Brock Purdy. I am, but yeah, there's people that aren't sold on Brock Purdy. So if you look at the 49ers, I mean, there's probably some answers for them, some questions they need to answer this season.
Yeah, but I mean, if you go to the Super Bowl 1 year and then you have the Super Bowl hangover and go 6-11 the next year, and you have a bunch of injuries again, McCaffrey missed, 8 weeks to start the season. Ayuk blew out his knee after like hanging out and not signing all through the through preseason and everything else. Like, it just feels like this one's a little bit of like, oh, that's an easy one. And they also, the 49ers have, I think it's considered the weakest schedule in the NFL.
Looks like it.
Yeah, but again, it looks like it. That's a good way to put it, because we have no idea until teams step on the field.
I get where you're coming from, and I also get where Bill's coming from. I mean, like, they were a 6-11 team, so it's like, you with that schedule are expecting, but like you said, it's kind of easy. It's easy pickings or whatever.
I mean, if they didn't include them, would you have been like, hey, how about the 49ers? No.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know, James. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do 20 minutes from now.
I think the Dallas Cowboys, it's 7-10. Like, why didn't you throw the Cowboys in there?
Because maybe Bill's like me. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be very good.
Oh, see, that's a good point.
Yeah.
They might not be very good. I don't know.
But going back to the 49ers, I mean, they really don't have... With the 49ers, I feel like a lot of it is their schedule. Like, people are wearing their schedule being so bad compared to, I guess, what they're... wide receiver room is looking like. The offensive line has questions. Like, there's still questions with this 49ers team going into this season, but I feel like people are kind of brushing those aside right now, just given the schedule is so weak. So there is a chance where it's like, yeah, maybe that is more of an issue than we think.
Okay.
Where it's not so crazy for Bill Barnwell to think to throw them in there as far as like improvement and stuff like that, because there are things where it's like you can point to them. It's like, like I said, they do have to answer some questions this season. I don't. Yeah. It's not that team coming off the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like there was only two seasons ago, but things have changed. Deebo Samuel's in Washington now. It's just things have moved around.
Okay. Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how this plays out. You know, again, the 49ers are banking on a bunch of young players, but there's
Matt Stafford was back at practice today.
Yeah, there's plenty of room to grow and get better. And then you bring up that Matthew Stafford finally back at practice.
Yeah, had the shoulder pads on, the red jersey. This wasn't none of the whole. He was doing individual workouts. He had the outfit on today.
Do you think it's just his age and he's just like, I don't really want to go through the whole.
No, I think his back is actually hurting right now.
Okay.
I think if he was able to be out there, like he'd be getting vet rest days and stuff like that. But I think there is actually something up with his back. Because, like, yeah, if he's getting epidurals and stuff like that, I'd imagine there's something real there, no?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, not real, like, you're not saying he's faking or anything like that, but just more so, I think it's as serious as they're making it out to be. I don't think he's just dealing with back pain at this, because he's old or anything like that. Like, I think he's something he's still managing and things like that.
So, the problem I have with Stafford is, like, first of all, he's, what, 38, right?
37, 38, one of those.
Yeah, you're walking into a season where you already have all of these back problems, and there are 17 weeks in front of you. Yeah, he's 37. He'll be 38 in February. Could you imagine looking at an NFL season and going, man, I've got to somehow figure out how to play with this type of injury, a back injury, for 17 weeks?
Oh, James, I can't do that. I'm 5'6". No, I can't imagine that. No, but Matt Stafford, yeah, looking at it through his eyes, yeah, that's got to be tough.
I mean, there are days I've got here and my back is out, yeah, and I look at the chair and I'm like, I don't know that I can stand sitting there for 2 hours. That's 2 hours.
No,
that's,
yeah.
That's 17 games.
The weight of a football season is massive on Matt Stafford and all that, so I'm sure there's an aspect where there could be some truth. He's like, yeah, let me get a couple of weeks off and things like that, because we only got one more preseason game left. There's no chance he's going to play in it or anything like that, but just now he's back at practice, get some reps in for the next 2 weeks, and then ready to go for week one.
Yeah, and I guess, Jimmy Garoppolo better be ready to play, right?
I mean, yeah, he'll be suited up. I don't know what ready to play means, but he'll be out there.
He'll be 34 in November as well, and talk about a guy who's had injuries nonstop. He has potential, though, to be a really, really strong backup quarterback. No?
His Raiders stint was really bad, man.
It was really bad.
It was horrible. He was the worst quarterback in the league, it felt like.
It does feel like he's had one really good season his entire career. You know, he did have the 9-6 season where he threw for 3,800 yards and 20 touchdowns. But 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, that's really not that big of a season. In the NFL. Those are some Troy Aikman numbers.
Jimmy Garoppolo was a moment.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was a moment.
Yeah.
And now looking back on it, it's like, all right, maybe we all went a little too crazy and we need to relax. But
it feels like Linsanity a little bit, doesn't it?
No, Linsanity. I look back on Linsanity much more fondly than the Jimmy Garoppolo Niners era. I'll tell you that. Yeah, I'll take the 2 weeks of Linsanity than the 1 year of what it was for the 49ers or whatever that was for you guys. Linsanity was, yeah, Linsanity was, they made documentaries on that. It's no one's like going to make a documentary on
the best
Jimmy Garoppolo years.
The best 10-game stretch ever from a nobody in the NBA. That's funny.
Because 30-something against the Lakers on that little stretch.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, if I'm the Rams, I'm not trusting
the Rams are
happening.
Boom or bust in the sense where if it's not Matt Stafford, I'm completely out on what they're doing this season.
Yeah, but they still have.
They have a great team, but it's just, I don't like Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I love.
I'd rather have Mac Jones as my backup quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oof.
Al Mattson's shaking his hand. He's shaking. No.
Oh.
I don't know. Jimmy was not good with the Raiders. He was horrible. And it's like, is he going to kind of pick himself up? I don't know.
But they have
Mac Jones
great
can at least
wide receivers.
Hit the check down with CMC or Kyron Williams if he was a Ram or whoever.
Good running backs.
Like Jimmy Garoppolo might try to really play quarterback.
Oof. It's going to be tested. Your theory here is going to be tested.
Jimmy Garoppolo will get some time this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a much like there's a way higher likelihood that we get to see Garoppolo as a starting quarterback this year than Mac Jones. Like I don't know that Mac Jones will start. I mean, heaven forbid.
Yeah, Kyle Madsen intrigued. So this, we'll talk about this more on the handoff too.
Oh, we're gonna talk more about this on the handoff.
He's got thoughts.
Yeah, I'm sure he does have thoughts. I definitely like. There's gonna be a point where we're missing what the Jimmy Garoppolo years were like, right? Like there was a time when Jimmy Garoppolo actually, like, there was excitement about him as a quarterback.
Then there was, but even like as the time was winding down, there was a lot of fans who didn't like him. I feel. Well, people were ready for Jimmy to go.
Yeah.
Even in the moment, I feel, is why.
I feel like Kenny Caraway gave Jimmy Garoppolo two of his fake Super Bowls. Like, I mean, the should've ones? Yeah.
Yeah, the should've won. The Niners, according to Kenny, have 11 should've won Super Bowls.
I thought it was 12.
It might be.
It might be 12. Yeah. All right. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to have the handoff. We'll have Kenny Caraway here. We'll have Kyle Madsen in the building. It will be a one of those crazy, chaotic 30 to 40-minute segments where...
We're going to have a good time for a little while.
Where we're just chilling, hanging out. We're the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back in just a minute. Oh, we lost
there
Jesse.
He is. Oh, there he is. Okay, I thought he was leaving. Oh. We're going to get Jesse in here as well.
All right, so here's what we have to do, too. We have to do this.
Yup.
What's up, guys?
Oh, hey, there's Kenny.
We're going to put you in the middle.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
Oh, we do need Kenny and Mike, though, because our audio comes from this one.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's true. Dang. Okay.
Kenny's walking in right now.
We're locked in. We're back. We've never been more
I
back.
Think Kenny was talking to a salesperson. That's why.
Gotcha. Silence. No audio on the stream.
Yeah, that's my bad. That's on me.
What's up, we're back.
All right. Hello. So you guys were talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and Mac Jones. And I know this is kind of silly. Like I'm fully understanding that talking about backup quarterbacks is a silly thing. But it's August.
Anything on the radio would have been serious.
What do you want from us? So we have a lot of very serious conversations. Okay, like should Keon Ellis start? You think that's a joke? You think this is a game? No.
Over who?
Jesse, you were dragging Jimmy Garoppolo for his Raiders experience a little bit, and I think that's fair. I'm not going to stand in front of Jimmy Garoppolo for being I hate using like analytics terms, but ass last year. I don't mind that take.
Oh, he was not good.
No, and just to give you the scope, he went 3-3 as a starter. He completed 65% of his passes, but 7 touchdowns, 9 picks, 7.1 yards per attempt, which is the lowest of his career since his rookie year. When he threw 27 passes for the Patriots. So I believe in Jimmy Garoppolo more as the Rams starter than I would Mac Jones as the Rams starter, because we've seen Sean McVay turn dudes into quarterbacks. And I don't think that the Raiders infrastructure last year was such that Jimmy Garoppolo or any quarterback of his caliber was going to be any kind of productive. So I think what we'd see with Jimmy Garoppolo with the Rams is much closer to the Jimmy Garoppolo we saw with the Niners, which isn't great. Like, I'm not saying like, oh my God, make them Super Bowl favorites. But I do think the Rams would be harder to beat with Jimmy Garoppolo under center than they would with Mac Jones.
Is their season dead if Matt Stafford is out for any extended period of time, or can they survive with Jimmy?
Define dead.
Not making the playoffs.
Oh, no. That's fine. Here we go. All right. So season's not dead if making the playoffs is dead. Season's very much not dead. Super Bowl's dead.
I agree.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that's what they're trying to do. They look at themselves after what they did last year as a potential Super Bowl-type team.
They almost went into Philly and won the NFC title game.
They were, a fourth down away?
No, it wasn't the NFC title game. That was a divisional game, sorry.
Divisional game. They were like a fourth down away. Fourth and goal, I think they were. I think they were first in goal with like 15 seconds to go and couldn't get into the end zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I have so little faith in Garoppolo that I don't really think it matters. Like, if Garoppolo is your starting quarterback for, let's say, 14 weeks of the season or 10 weeks of the season, you by far have the worst quarterback in the division. I don't even think it's close.
Here's the deal.
I think Purdy, Darnold, Kyler Murray.
Well, here's the deal with, in my opinion, with Jimmy Garoppolo, because we have seen somebody win with Jimmy Garoppolo. The key is, everything has to be perfect. Everything else has to be perfect. You have to have not a top five, probably a top three defense in the game. You have to have a running game that is equal to none in the game. Your special teams has to be on point at all times. That's the way you win with Jimmy Garoppolo, because you can scheme some things up where he's not embarrassing. He's not going to Tim Tebow this whole thing and throw for 102 yards or something like that. Like, he'll have some games where he throws for 222 and two touchdowns and stuff like that. Like, you can get there, but everything else has to be perfect on your team.
They've got a lot of nice specialty pieces. They do.
Talking about the Rams or the...
Yeah, the Rams. Like, they've got... Like, their running backs are nice. Their wide receivers are nice.
Jimmy Garoppolo's best friend, Devontae Adams, is there.
Oof. Oh, yeah.
Great point.
Who almost got him killed the other day? Was that Jimmy?
You got Devontae Adams almost killed?
Yeah. Was it in... I think it was in joint practice. And... Yeah, I think it was...
Jimmy Garoppolo threw a hospital ball?
Say it ain't so.
What?
Jimmy threw one into, like, triple coverage... Which Devontae was going to have to come back to, and this corner or safety on the side of him in a game would have just destroyed him.
Well, I didn't say he was good.
Can't imagine that. Yeah.
I think they have the pieces in place with Sean McVay as their head coach and play caller. I think they have the pieces in place where Jimmy Garoppolo would be fine. They could win 10 games.
Okay, I'm a little
maybe
concerned.
Maybe I'm too high on the Rams.
I'm concerned about him as a game manager. I don't, because of... Exactly what we're talking about, the crazy high ball that comes out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, come on, man. Like,
it's not going to be perfect.
It's Derek Carr. Like, a lot of it, it's like every time there's a big moment, Derek Carr overthrows everything. You're like, come on, bro.
But you're right. But that's where I talk about everything having to be perfect comes into play. He did that with the 49ers. Both times he didn't play the whole season. The next time they went to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
The year they went to the NFC Championship game and lost to the Rams, the year they went to the Super Bowl and mm-hmm. lost to the Chiefs, he was doing the same thing, but those defenses were top shelf.
Yeah.
The running game with Kyle Shanahan mm-hmm. and Raheem Mostert mm-hmm. and all those guys was top shelf. Like, it was mm-hmm. damn near, outside of the Ravens, maybe one of those years, the best in the league. And that's why they were able to survive all of that. If the Rams can do that, not just be good, they got to be top shelf everywhere else.
Yeah.
Then you can win with Jimmy Garoppolo. If they're not, he gonna get you a few times.
I think there's a little room for a little wiggle room with, like, their defense being top shelf or their running game. I think Kyron Williams is really good. But their running game being top shelf, because don't forget that 2019 team, that's rookie Debo who caught 57 passes for 802 yards and 3 touchdowns. George Kittle, 1,000 yards, 85 catches in 14 games. Kendrick Bourne had 30 catches. They were undefeated going into week 8 when they traded for Emmanuel Sanders. Mm-hmm. And Emmanuel Sanders made his debut against the Panthers. And Emmanuel Sanders was their wide receiver 1. Yeah. And they acquired him midseason. They were undefeated with Jimmy Garoppolo quarterback, with rookie Debo and George Kittle and undrafted Kendrick Bourne as their top 3 guys. I think the Rams have way better pass catchers than that.
They have Puka and Devontae Adams,
who are both excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Is Devontae Adams
still awesome?
He's still top 10.
Okay. I want to see it this year. This is we do this a lot with running with wide receivers. DeAndre Hopkins and all this, like, we think about them when they were that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get later in the career, like when DeAndre Hopkins went to, where did he go? He went to
Arizona,
or
he was good in Arizona.
No, he's good in Arizona. He went to
Kansas City.
Well, he went to Kansas City last year and was a non-factor.
And it was like, oh, how did they let them get DeAndre Hopkins? I don't know if that's
nobody
where
logical
is.
Was saying that.
I don't know if that's where Devontae is. But
I want to see
Devontae
put 11 games with the Jets last year. Okay, I need you to understand these numbers are in 11 games with whatever Aaron Rodgers is at this point of his life. 67 catches, 854 yards, 7 touchdowns. Devontae's a good player.
He is a good player.
Devontae had 1,500 yards in one season, and then Josh McDaniels and Jimmy Garoppolo got there.
Mm. And he still had 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns and 103 catches.
Not to
he's good.
Dismiss that.
Sure.
But in both of those situations, what kind of effect did it have on anything?
Well, those aren't good teams.
Yeah, they're just yeah.
The Rams are way better.
Yeah, they're not even same level
than the Jets last year. Than the Raiders in 2023.
Jets defense is equivalent to.
No.
Jets defense last year wasn't equivalent to that. To the Rams?
No, I don't think so.
No.
If it was that good, they wouldn't have fired Robert Saleh.
Okay.
Hey, talking about Robert Saleh, like watching the game this weekend, did you guys just like, did it just make you smile that he's blitzing?
No.
No? You're crazy.
So I
love it.
So here's the deal.
I lean Kenny on this.
I was listening to you and I understand it. Like, to me personally, what I've started to learn about the game of football and the way I view it, you do that when you can't get pressure with four. Ideally, if you can get pressure with four and drop seven back, that's it. That's what you want to do. The Eagles last year weren't doing all this crazy blitzing.
Mm-hmm.
They have four that got after it, and there was seven guys to guard four, and there was nothing to do.
But you don't have the four guys that can get to the quarterback.
That's what you need. That's what you need.
I'm gonna land on the fence here. I get what you're saying, Kenny, and I totally agree. But to James's point, in the past, I think even they've blitzed a little bit more in recent years as their defensive line has gotten worse. Mm. But in the past, they've really adhered to that. Gonna get home with four. Getting home in four, we'll play sound coverage in the back end, and then the four got to get home. And when that's not working, when that's not happening, you have to have more in your bag.
Do something different.
I do think it's interesting, though, that he's doing it so much in the preseason and showing all these different looks in the preseason. And, Jesse, you were talking about Brian Flores earlier. I do kind of wonder if that's something, A, if they're going to blitz a little bit more than they did in 2019 and 20 and 21, or if they're trying to show these looks so they can crowd the line. They can make a quarterback go, okay, there's eight guys at the line of scrimmage right now. And then are they getting after the quarterback? Are they dropping into cut? That's what I think they're maybe trying to put on tape right now, is just giving offenses more to think about with the 49ers defense and not just like, yeah, hey, they're going to play cover three. Here we go.
Yeah, no, and I like that. Yep. I like that. And I was being a little tongue in cheek answering James that way. Like it looks fine. Like it looks fine. But I think to a certain degree, if that's all you have in the bag against the top offenses, against the top offensive coordinators, they can light you up for that.
Mm-hmm.
They will make you pay. And if you're going to do all that blitzing, and this is also the concern that I have as well, if that's the game plan, is your corners. Kansas City does a certain level of blitzing as well, but that's because their corners are top flight. They win one-on-one damn near all the time. So if you're going to do that, you're going to leave those corners on an island, and they better win. And I don't know if the Niners have that type of secondary play.
I got a question. How do you guys feel about the Niners secondary? Is that a good group, or like, is that a group of questions?
It's a question. I like Stout. I like Lenore, obviously.
Offensive line, two questions?
Yeah, for sure.
Buddy, it's all questions.
Well, that's what I'm like the point I'm getting to is even with their easy schedule, could it be a bit of a, I don't want to say down year because it's like 6-11 again, but just more so where it's just not one where they're winning the division or anything like that?
No, I don't think so. I think the expectations at least should be that of winning a division and getting to the playoffs. They got more than enough talent. What the other thing about this is,
like, is it 8-9 year for the Niners? Like, that's not,
yeah, that's a failure. That is a failure by everybody involved.
Yeah, single digit wins is a swing and a miss,
especially their schedule.
In my opinion,
it is a major failure.
And that's more because they are relying on, and we'll talk about this a little bit today, but they're relying a lot on young players to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And if your young players are such that you're winning 8 or 9 games, that does not bode well for 2026 and beyond.
100%. Yeah, I agree with that as well. I think they should be a playoff team this year. I think they've got enough talent on both sides of the ball. Are there question marks? For sure. Those question marks keep them from being a Super Bowl contender, though. You know what I mean? Like, if they didn't have question marks in the secondary and offensive line, and those were like lock solid, I'd be like, this should be a favorite, you know, or in that conversation. of being a favorite. Those question marks keep them from being that. I think their depth keep them from being that. But I do think they're a playoff team, specifically because I don't think the NFC is that strong this year as a whole. I think the Eagles are obviously for sure championship contender. Then there's about three or four or five teams that can go either way. They can look like a championship level team, or they can look like a middling team. I think the 49ers are in that group.
I think there are enough teams. Like, you look at Minnesota, we don't know what they're going to look like with JJ McCarthy, right? So that could be, they could be incredible again, and it could just keep rolling, or they could take a pretty solid step back. Same thing with the Packers. The Packers were like great and then bad, and you're like, ooh, I don't really know what to make of them all the time. I think there are a lot of teams in the NFC that kind of have that same exact feel. But I also think like the Niners kind of look like the Rams a couple of years ago, where they reset their defensive side of the ball with a bunch of young players.
Yeah.
And you're hoping that some of these guys come out and play really well. But I think right away, the defensive backs, the guys in the defensive backfield, whether safety or cornerbacks or their nickel guys, all of them have looked really strong early. But that doesn't mean they're going to look really strong when you're playing against elite quarterbacks who pick apart even great defensive backs. And so I think it could get a little rough. But then again, I mean, the division isn't all that strong. And there's a couple other divisions that aren't strong either.
For sure. For sure. I need a DB too. I need a DB too.
You're out on Renardo Green.
Oh, I like Renardo Green.
I haven't seen much of him this training camp because he's been hurt.
Right.
I liked what I saw last year, the rookie year. I didn't like some of the things I was hearing before he went down in training camp, so I would have liked to seen him in a preseason setting. Haven't seen him, so that's a question mark.
Sure.
But Lenore and Stout, I love seeing that. I probably want another DB that I can rely on too, because you get these four wide receiver sets. I like the I'm drawing a blank right now. Who's the safety that's turning heads?
Siegel.
Marquise Siegel.
Siegel.
Yeah.
I like Siegel. I like what I'm seeing from him. So the secondary, they're part of a young group, much like that defensive line. Young group, you see promise, and it's just going to be about how long it takes for them to gel as a unit. And if they can, I think you're in a good spot.
Who's the second best team in the NFC? Detroit?
Ooh.
Who are
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
They were an underrated thing with Detroit last year was how hurt they were.
Kenny hates Detroit. You just saw the sign man right now. He hates Detroit.
The answer was just a little too quick for me. A little too quick. I don't know if Detroit this year, and look, people say I hate this team too, but I'm just keeping it a stack. I don't know if Detroit's better than Green Bay.
That's fair. I'm interested to see what Detroit, what they look like now that they're healthy. I don't think it got talked about enough how banged up they were in the postseason last year.
Oh, yeah, they played with a second-string defense.
Yeah, well, almost all the way across.
That. And you are listening to KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQ, HD2 Sacramento, tough. ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader, always free on the Odyssey app.
I'm going to say this.
Stop. Go on with your point about the Lions since you cut me off. No.
I love the Lions.
That is something I'm taking into account. The other thing is, they lost their offensive and defensive coordinators.
Yeah.
And we saw Philly, the year they lost their offensive and defensive coordinators, they fell off a cliff in the second half of the year.
Yep.
So I am really interested to see with Detroit if that is a factor or if they are just so loaded talent-wise, which they might be, and maybe Dan Campbell is such a motivator that it's not going to matter. But I think if there's a fall-off, I think it's because of that, and it wouldn't shock me at all if Green Bay was ready to make that leap because I think Matt LaFleur is one of the best coaches in the sport.
My point with that question, too, is kind of going off what Casey said. Like, the NFC is kind of wide open beyond Philly.
Yeah, it is.
It might be wide open with Philly.
There's a number. Yeah. There's a number of arguments that you can make for a couple of different teams. I'll say it right now to answer that question. The 49ers are the second-best team in the division.
In the division?
Excuse me, in the conference.
No, they're not.
Who's better?
Yeah.
Detroit.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they won 15
games last year. Okay, and they're bringing everybody back. The 49ers could be.
Now, we talked about the injuries, but a defense that couldn't stop a nosebleed the second half of the season.
But they didn't have Aiden Hutchinson.
They were
playing. One player going to change
over. Lane McNeil.
A player that good.
They were playing with like fourth, fifth string type guys, like practice squad guys at the end of the last season. Like their injuries were pretty crazy.
Yeah, they couldn't stop a nosebleed. They were still 15-2. That's crazy. The 49ers couldn't stop anybody last year either, and they won six games. I am not ready to be like, oh yeah, the 49ers are way better than they were. They might be if Micah Williams is the defensive rookie of the year, and if CJ West is awesome, and if Upton Stout is a Pro Bowl caliber corner on day one, and if Renardo Green's a Pro Bowl caliber corner, and Marquis Siegel starts and is awesome, and if Ricky Pearsall can stay healthy, and Juwan Jennings looks like wide receiver one again, and George Kittle staying healthy, and Christian McCaffrey staying healthy, and Trent Williams staying healthy, and Ben Barch is ready to take a leap, and Dominic Pooney is as good as he was last year or even better, and Jake Brendel is better than he was last year, and Colton McKivitz takes his Pro Bowl leap that he's talking about, then sure, they can be the second best team in the league.
All that get stay healthy stuff, I say the same thing about the Lions defense.
Sure.
If all things like are better,
that's, though.
How much stay healthy stuff did I say? McCaffrey and Pearsall.
And you talked about the Trent Williams staying healthy.
Well, yeah, he hasn't played a full season when he's a 49er, so.
I know. I'm saying, like, when you talk
he's
about,
37.
When you talk about staying healthy, that's the same thing.
Yeah, that's the name of the game for a lot of people, yeah. But it's a name of the game in the NFL. How many times do we hear going into the Super Bowl, it's a war of attrition. This team was just the healthiest team. McCaffrey had bilateral Achilles tendonitis. Mm-hmm. That's a major red flag. Mm-hmm. Trent Williams has not played more than, I think it's 14 games as a 49er.
Yeah.
And they've historically lost when Trent Williams doesn't play. And then we haven't, Juwan Jennings is not practicing because he has a calf strain, quote unquote. And Ricky Pearsall missed all of training camp before getting shot last year. Like there's enough injury red flags specifically with the 49ers on guys that, to me, if they're going to be the second best team in the league, I'm not saying it's impossible, but those are really, really important players for them if they're going to reach that level.
We'll all see when they actually play.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit is, they're on my radar. And you guys know, I don't like the Packers. Well, I don't believe in Jordan Love. But I would say today, I trust the Packers more than I trust the Lions.
Going back to the
49ers. I probably trust Minnesota more than I trust the Lions.
Well, I'm out of Minnesota.
Minnesota doesn't have a quarterback yet.
Yeah, I need to see J.J. McCarthy first, but I don't hate the Green Bay take at all.
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay could be there, but I mean, Aiden Hutchinson last year, he played five games. He had 7.5 sacks before he snapped his leg.
Mm. And, I mean, and we're sure he's going to return to that form.
He's 25 years old.
Well, we're not.
I don't hate that.
He snapped his leg. He's got a.
Yeah, we're not 100% sure. Yeah.
So
it's been a year, though.
He was
great
before he broke his leg. He was an all-pro.
Yeah. He's going to be defensive player of the year, yeah.
He was one of the best in the game. But that's like me saying, like, oh, when Brandon Ayuk comes back, everything going to be good. Nah, yeah.
Not just Hutchinson, though. Like, they're going to be bringing back a lot more guys than just Hutchinson, though.
Hey, no, for sure. Did you know the Packers were 8th in offensive points scored, 5th in offensive yards, 6th in points allowed, and 5th in yards allowed.
Mm. I did not know.
That defense is not good.
The Packers defense?
Oh, no. I was switching them. I was thinking you were saying the back end of 5th. Like, they were 5th in allowing.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, they gave up the 6th fewest points and the 5th fewest yards. And if you're into DVOA, they were 3rd in DVOA.
Mm. I like the Packers.
Oddly enough,
but
behind Detroit.
Yeah.
I just don't believe in Jordan Love to get it done.
What? Oh, this is totally
against the top teams. He's a good quarterback. Like, he's good. He's talented. He's a good quarterback. I just don't. I'm not a big believer in Jordan Love.
His receivers have been suspect, and he hasn't been able to create a receiver, and that's a bit of a concern.
Matt Stafford back at practice today. Are we sure the 49ers are the best team in their division?
Oof.
No, we're not sure, but I said a month ago they're going to win the division.
I think the Rams have a way better chance of being the second-best team in the NFC than the Niners do.
That's fair. That's fair.
I think as of right now, I think it's August 18th.
I think the Niners are winning the NFC West. I haven't wavered off that for a month and a half.
Well, for three seasons.
Well, they should have won. Now, this will be the first year. I don't think they're the best team in the NFC, but I'm not going to make that argument. I think Philly is far and away better than everybody else, at least on paper, in the conference.
They're tier one, for sure.
Tier one.
I also think the 49ers' path to being good in their own division is not nearly as difficult as some of the other teams. So, like, when you're dealing with, again, Stafford, whether he's going to play or not, you know, but they finished 10-7 last year. Seattle finished 10-7. I think we could see Seattle take a step back because they've lost, you know, they lost their quarterback. They replaced him with Darnold, but they lost DK Metcalf as well.
Seattle actually has my attention.
You like Seattle?
Keep my eye on Seattle. Keep my eye on them.
Seattle sneaky 10-7 last year.
Yeah, I'm keeping my eye on Seattle. I'm not going to dismiss them. That first game of the season, that's a tough one.
Oh, for sure. Seattle's going to be really tough. They're going to be a tough team to beat regardless, I think. Mm. I just don't know if I'm ready to buy the Sam Darnold experience. We're talking about Matt LaFleur earlier. I think Kevin O'Connell is awesome in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready to put that on Clint Kubiak yet.
Omar Simpson in the chat house says, is it safe to say Cowboys might be the worst team in the NFC?
No, that's disrespectful.
No,
they're not
going
to be the worst team in the NFC?
No!
No, that's not. I'm just bringing to get to a point about the Cowboys, but is anyone expecting them to be like pretty good this year?
No.
They could be 11-7. I mean, 11-6.
11 is... I think we talked about this the other day. I don't know if they're getting double-digit wins this year.
I was thinking 7-9 right now.
Yeah. They're going to be like
17 games.
They're going to be a 500 around their type team.
Let me see their schedule real quick. I'm going to tell you exactly how many wins the Cowboys have this year.
Let's go. Book it.
All right. Eagles, loss. Giants, win. Ooh, at Bears. That's a coin flip
loss
for me. Oh, we're buying the Bears?
Caleb Williams. Ben Johnson.
All right. Let's see. So they got one win. Packers, loss. At Jets, win. At Panthers?
That's a win.
We'll call it a win.
Yeah, I'm not ready for Bryce Wrong.
That's three. Hey, just a disclaimer from the handoff at ESPN 1320. We still recommend they play the games. should still play the games just in case we're wrong. So we got 3-3 right now through six weeks.
Okay.
Commanders?
Loss.
That's a loss.
Okay, Where is it?
Where is
home.
It I'll give them a win. I'll
just gonna split
that. Wow, okay, 4-3. Okay, yeah. Very good. At Denver?
Loss.
That's a loss. So we're 4-4 through 8 weeks. Home Arizona.
That's a win.
Okay, 5-4 through 9 weeks. They hit the bye week. At the Raiders coming out of the bye.
Win.
So they're 6-4 now. Two games over. Wow. Home Philly?
Loss.
Okay, 6-5. Home Kansas City on a Thursday?
Loss.
Loss.
6-6. Heading into... That's home Kansas City. That's Thursday. That is
Thanksgiving. Yeah.
But then they play the following Thursday, so they're 6-6 at Detroit.
Loss.
All right, they're 6-7.
This is where the skid starts right here.
6-7. Ooh. Yeah, I think it does. Then we've got home Minnesota.
Loss.
Coin flip.
I'll give we'll give them a win. What? Give them a half a win and half a loss for that one.
All right, so they tie. So there's
tie.
They're 6-7-1. Then they get the Chargers at home.
Loss.
In Dallas, I mean.
Loss.
All right, 6-8-1.
Kenny's being a hater right now.
I'll give them a flip. I'll give them a coin flip there.
They're 6-7-2. Two ties.
You know how I feel about the Chargers. I've been said, before they lost.
I think the Chargers are taking a leap this year.
Either way,
I'm in on the Chargers.
Winning the division.
Yeah.
Oh, not without Rashawn Slater, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was before that happened. I think I still might stick to my guns.
I got the Cowboys at 7-9 wins. I think it's pretty spot on.
Then they're at Commanders, at Giants.
Yeah, they can get that.
I feel like,
win.
Hey, can I keep it a stack real quick, Jesse?
No, you
while
can't.
We're here? No, I'm
sure.
Going to. 100 American dollars stacked on top of one another. Saying 7-9 wins is a coward prediction.
Well, they're a 500 team.
I think they're going to teeter around 500.
7-10 and 9-8 are dramatically different.
Not for them. It's bad for them.
No, I totally disagree. If a team is 7-10, I'm like, oof. If they go 9-8, it's like, ah.
So how about this?
So I think
those
are
the difference.
I think they'll struggle to get to 9 if they do. Like, it's not going to be, the Cowboys are in the mix. Like, the Cowboys, like, just crawl to 9 wins this season.
They win.
They get lucky. 9 is their ceiling.
They win that last game of the season against the Giants. That gets them to 9.
Okay. All right.
It's the last time I ever give a prediction on this show.
I think, just looking at their early schedule, they're going to be one of those teams that come out at, like, 5-1 or 4-2, and there's going to be a lot of hype.
Well, I don't know about
and then
that.
We'll see what happens. Well, when you look at the Eagles, the Giants, the Bears, the Packers, the Jets, and the Panthers...
They can lose all those games.
They could also win all but one of those games.
They could also tie.
They could also split.
I'll tell you right now,
3-3.
I'm going to call right now. I see them losing to the Panthers.
Oh,
are you in on the Panthers this year?
I'm not in on them.
Hey,
but
low key, I got my...
About,
we want to be Panthers, guys?
Hey, low key.
Hang on, let me check the over-under. Go ahead.
Krista talked about it the other day. She said she was talking to somebody in the organization to say, yo, we might end up having a top five offense in the game.
Who said this?
Somebody that works for the Panthers.
The Panthers might?
Yeah, somebody that works for the Panthers. Oh, yeah, you weren't here. She was like, what about your defense?
I work for the Panthers. I believe that too.
She's like, defense, it ain't really going to be good like that, but our offense is going to be electric.
That's tough because they spent a lot of time and money revamping their defenses.
That's a problem.
Hey, over under Panthers, 6.5 wins.
Oh, damn, that's a tough.
That's a tough one. That's a good line.
If it was 5.5, I would have took the over.
Yeah, I'm gonna say under because I say 6 wins.
I'm gonna go Detroit Pistons, Kyle Matz. I'm gonna take the over.
Oh, all right, Jesse's Panthers. Jesse's Panthers. Come on, I'm gonna have them be my Jags this year. They're my Jaguars.
Okay,
what is that?
I'm gonna take over 7.5.
All right,
over 7.5 on the Jags.
Yeah.
On the Jags?
No, Jaguars. Wait a minute.
You switched for the Panthers to the Jags.
Yes, I switched. Yes, I went to a different Jungle Cat.
Okay, yeah.
So they're Jesse's Panthers. They're my Jaguars.
I'll take the over on that. I'll take the under on Carolina. I'll take the over on Jacksonville.
Come on. The Jacksonville Jaguars are the official team of the Insiders.
That's right.
10 to noon on ESPN.
What's their over under this year?
The Jaguars?
Yeah.
7.5.
Feels like an easy over, but...
Why are they our pick?
I'm stuck.
It's because of Trevor Lawrence's nickname. I'm straight up.
The prince who was promised.
The prince that was promised.
I'm stuck on my over-under with the Jags. I think I'm going under, though. I think it's 7 wins.
They're a big Liam Cohen guy.
Really good job with those things.
Liam Cohen, I'm sure, is great, but Trevor Lawrence screams Derek Carr to me.
Oh, that's...
No, it's not. Go check the numbers. Go check the numbers.
Derek Carr was pretty good for a minute.
Derek Carr was good.
And he never had a coach as good as Liam Cohen, who didn't get fired
Derek
for
being
Derek
Carr was fine. Like, Derek Carr was fine. He always had talent, but he was always, like, average to above average, depending on if it was week 16 or 13 or whatever. That's kind of what Trevor Lawrence is right now to this point.
Derek Carr better than Trevor Lawrence. Derek Carr better.
I won't even fight you. I was just giving a comp, but that's fine. Trevor Lawrence
is below Derek Carr.
Jimmy Garoppolo at his best day then with the Niners.
Oh,
that's a little closer.
I don't know. Trevor Lawrence
on his best day, Jimmy was really good.
Jimmy had some good moments.
Then fine. Trevor Lawrence is worse than Jimmy Garoppolo on his best day with the Niners. Then who?
When did Jimmy get bad?
I think he was always bad. I think the 49ers got worse around him.
I don't want to say that.
That's not what I meant. Jimmy Garoppolo stayed here, and as the team fluctuated around him, he fluctuated the same direction.
Those first 5 games, he was legit, like, balling.
And he tore his ACL.
So at the end of that season, he was legit like, yo, this dude is lighting it up. He's having 300-yard games. He's doing all this other stuff. The ACL might have been the turning point for his entire career. It seemed like that's when he was He was a different player when he came back. More erratic.
Yeah, he just didn't move.
He wasn't as
skittish in the pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. He just looked like he didn't have command the same way he did. I really think it comes down to, because remember when they acquired McCaffrey, that was Jimmy was the quarterback then. And Jimmy was playing some of the best ball he'd played since 2017. And then he got hurt against Jesse's Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
The worst day of Jesse's life.
Yeah. That was when...
number one defense, my ass. I tweeted out after Trent Sherfield's touchdown. I thought we were going to the Super Bowl, and it was all over after that.
You tweeted that after one play?
Yeah I did. I didn't delete it either.
Oh, boy.
Bro, there was people tweeting at me. It's like, do you guys even listen? Who are you people? How do you guys even see? How do you guys even find me?
Now,
are they Team of Destiny with your Dolphins? Was that
that was Florio week like 3?
It was.
Yeah, it was like, are the Niners and Dolphins teams of destiny?
When the Dolphins put up 70 on the Broncos.
Gosh,
damn,
that was a moment.
That team got cursed for not going for the record. I'll say that.
I think they got cursed for running up the score.
That was after Jimmy played well that year. After he ran out of the back of the end zone. He ran out of the back of the end zone and threw a pick on that play.
Yeah, he threw a pick 6. It was better. It was a better. He did a play that was so bad, it was better to run out the back of the end zone and give up 2 points than to throw the pass he did, because that would have been worth 7 points. He got a +5 for stepping on the end line.
There were 2 times when I was at my most mad. You guys know I'm pretty with any of my teams. Like, I don't.
You get dejected.
Really, yeah,
you
don't really get angry. Get mad. You get dejected. The 2 times I got pissed off was the Dolphins game, not that game, but
oh, the Ryan Fitzpatrick game.
Yikes.
Yeah, oh, that was a great day
Jonathan,
for me.
Jonathan, what was it? What was that cat's name?
It was Brian Allen, right?
Brian Allen, yeah, that's it. That's it.
Never heard from again.
That game.
Man.
And then that Denver game, I was pissed off.
Mm.
You know, I was so mad after that game.
You know what made me so mad about that Dolphins game in 2020?
What, Kyle?
My wife is a Dolphins fan.
Oh, didn't know that.
But very, like, passively a Dolphins fan. Mm-hmm. And so I have to watch the game for work. It has to be on the TV. And she's doing whatever she's doing. I don't know if she's crafting or doing some work or whatever. And every once in a while, she'd look up and go, And I can't even say anything because, like, damn. I got nothing for you. I was so mad. Just blood boiling. She's like, is this annoying you? Kinda.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be harsh, but is that one of the worst games from an NFL player of all time, Brian Allen?
Yeah,
they were picking I need to pull him off the field now.
I don't have an... I'm sure there... what's that Kenny Pickett game where he started over Tyrod Taylor? That's way worse. Because Brian Allen was a practice squad guy who just got thrown to the Wolves because the Niners were super banged up.
Now bring that up because Kenny Pickett, the name, you know,
they started Kenny Pickett on purpose against the Chargers, I think.
Mm.
And he threw like 5 picks. That's tough. That's worse for me. That's worse for me because everybody when they announced or not Kenny Pickett. Oh my God, what was my man's name? He was with the Bills and then he was with the Raiders for a minute. Peterman. Salute to Kenny Pickett. I didn't mean to put all that on him, but yeah, Nathan Peterman had that game for the Bills. I'm gonna go find it real quick where they started him on purpose over Tyrod Taylor. He went 6-for-14 in a 54-24 loss to the Chargers. He went 6-for-14 for 66 yards, no touchdowns, and 5 picks.
Okay, yeah, that's the worst then.
That's a bad game.
That's the worst. I remember that one too.
That's a 17.9 rating. And they started him over Tyrod Taylor for no reason. They were cruising along. They were, let's see, they had just lost back-to-back games. They were 5-4. And then they started Kenny Pickett. Not Ken, geez, Nathan Peterman.
Yeah,
they lost 54-24. Then the next week
wasn't his fault, I guess.
Then the next week they go to Kansas City with Tyrod Taylor starting, and they beat the Chiefs.
Mm.
Like, yeah. Man, that was the pre Mahomes Chiefs, but
shout out
still
Alex.
still a good Chiefs team.
Shout out Alex, big up.
They went 10-6.
Yeah. Big up Stone. Alex won some games. Alex won games.
Mm-hmm. He did, flat out.
He did. Real quick before we get out of here. Well, we got a little more time before we get out of here. But
at 8 minutes to kill now.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to use 8 minutes here. I was listening to the Insiders. Great show. Fantastic
great show.
Jesse and James did a great job this morning. I believe we as a collective, well, I don't think me and Damien are this way, and I don't think Jesse is either.
Let's find out.
Hell, I don't know if Kyle is. I think we're being too easy on Nick Bosa. Chris Biederman, your guy from the Kansas City Chronicles, Sacramento Bee, we mentioned Nick Bosa needing to step his game up last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, what? Like, nah, y'all tripping. Bosa's still one of the best in the league. Mm-hmm. And all that. And I'm like, he is, in theory.
Mm-hmm.
But he got to be better.
I think I was saying that same thing earlier.
And then James was saying, like, he needs better players around him. And I understand that. But no, I don't understand that. you're Nick Bosa.
For how he was.
You need to be a game changer. You need to be, like,
I agree.
As great as you're supposed to be, that you held out to be, you need to be somebody that cannot be schemed against.
Is he T.J. Watt or Myles Garrett level?
No.
And
no.
That's what he getting paid.
He should getting paid that's like those it. Guys. Is on paper he should be.
Because I don't think those guys get those excuses either.
Right.
No, but those guys this is again, there's nuance to this. It's not black and white. But T.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, admittedly, I watch way less Browns and Steelers than I do 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if I watch those guys play 5 games in a year, there's 3 or 4 games where I'm like, damn, they were just unblockable.
Yeah.
They just, you could not stop that player. And I don't, I feel like there are too many cases. There are games where I've got, here, Pro Football Focus if you're into that. He had 14 pressures in Seattle.
That's the game.
That's insane. But there are too many games where against Arizona, two pressures, no sacks. At the Rams, four pressures, one quarterback hit. Against the Jets, five pressures, two quarterback hits. Like, okay, that's good. At Tampa Bay, three pressures, Seattle, three. It's just like, man, he does not pin his ears back and take over games nearly as often as I would like.
Go ahead, sorry. The defensive line, if you can't get pressure anywhere else and all you have to do is shut the faucet off on one side.
Sure.
And just throw a running back or throw an extra tight end on that side. Like, there's nothing a guy can do when he's double teamed the whole time.
That's the pass I'm talking about, though. Because those guys that we talked about, I'm sure they're schemed against. Like, I'm sure they're chipped and all this other stuff, and they find a way.
Real quick, yeah, let me read a list real quick. T.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, Nick Bosa, Chris Jones. Those are the four highest paid annual average defensive players per year. It's like,
and Micah's going to be up there, too. Is Nick Bosa better than Micah?
No.
He's paid. Point is, Nick Bosa's paid to make it happen like those guys.
He's paid. He held out saying, I want to be the top guy. And he hasn't performed like that since.
Yeah, we called it out the entire time. He didn't look right for the first 8 weeks of the season after he held out. Mm-hmm. It was just like, hey, man, are you ever going to show up?
He still had 122 pressures and 16 sacks.
Yeah. In which year?
That's in 23. That's according to Pro Football Focus. Oh, I'm sorry. This is regular season and postseason.
Yeah, he had 10.5 sacks that year.
Yeah. He got credited for 14. Pro Football Focus. That's crazy.
I thought.
I don't know where they got an extra 3.5 sacks. It was not that impactful.
No, I'm looking at
it. It did not.
Football Reference. Like they have him at 10.5. Yeah. And then 9 last year.
Seattle game last year.
Huh.
That was the epitome of what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I think they were 1-2 going into that game. It was a short week going into Seattle. Things could have went haywire. They eventually ended up going haywire.
They were 1-2 in the standings, you mean?
No, they were they were below 500, weren't they, going into that game against Seattle?
Did they lose to Arizona at home last year?
Yes, I was there. Yeah, so the hottest day of all time.
2-3 then.
2-3, okay. Yeah. I knew they were a game.
Yeah.
And the season was looking like it was spiraling. They're coming off blowing a 10-point lead against Arizona at home.
Oh, that's right. That game, yes.
And losing that game to go to 2-3. Short week, had to go to Seattle, and I said, this is where I need the leaders to step up and make sure it doesn't happen, whether that's Brock, whether that's Kittle, whether that's Nick Bosa, whether that's Debo. Somebody got to step up and make sure this doesn't get to 2-4. And Nick Bosa did that.
Mm-hmm.
He did that. That's the game I'm looking for from him. Obviously, he doesn't have to do that every game, but you know what I mean? Like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was damn near the only one. That was the last time I remember Nick Bosa last year. And it's unacceptable. It is unacceptable. I got to the point.
It's not the last time I remember Nick Bosa last year.
Well.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What do you guys remember?
You're right. No, you're 100% correct. Yes.
What do you guys remember?
It wasn't in the game. I know that.
No.
It wasn't in the game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I messed around with the idea, and I knew they weren't going to do it. Like, I get it. But, man, for that money, and you worried about, can I pay this player, can I pay that player, I put him on the trade block. For nine sacks? He do that again.
I'm not going to do all that.
He does that again this year. Kyle, he does that again this year. 9 sacks. And I'm paying him $130 million, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Nah, man. I can make those funds work somewhere else.
Okay.
He's it's
9
tough.
Sacks?
I think 9 sacks.
What are you getting back?
He's a better player than that.
Yeah.
I agree, but if he give me 3 straight years of 10.5, 9 sacks and 9 sacks?
Sure.
What are we doing? Why am I paying you all this money?
You're going to have to eat that money though, no?
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. That's the unfair part about the NFL. If I trade you, the cap hit and all that should go.
Oh yeah, you're stuck. Yeah, pal, you're stuck with Bosa till 2029.
Yeah,
that would be awful. That would be awful. Like,
you're talking about him like he sucks.
Given how
difficult of a time they've had trying to find a pass rusher opposite Nick Bosa, uh-huh. That tells you how difficult it is to find somebody who's even a little bit effective.
Leonard Floyd came in and gave me 10 sacks.
No, Leonard Floyd is not a good player. You know that. You watch the games. You know Leonard Floyd's.
I understand, but Nick Bosa ain't stopping the run. I'm not even asking him to do it.
He's one of the best edge setters in the sport.
They just don't run at him. He wasn't last year.
They don't run at him.
Andy Reid does.
Well, yeah, but Andy Reid's awesome.
Yeah, Andy Reid. Andy Reid, he made Nick Bosa look like a fool. Sure. Now, he is Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. He is Andy mm-hmm. Reid. I'm not saying that. That doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But Andy Reid, when every time they play the Niners, we going right at Bosa.
Sure.
And they take his lunch money every time. What TC say? They push Nick Bosa in the bushes every time they play him. Every time. Make him look like a fool, run misdirections
at
him.
It's almost like they don't have anybody else to worry about.
Yeah.
Because remember, in 2019, he was the best player on the field in that Super Bowl.
No, Kyle, you, mm-hmm. I'll trust you on this one. Andy Reid runs at Nick Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
He tricks Nick Bosa, mm-hmm. uses his aggression against him every mm-hmm. time. The biggest play in the last 25 years.
Okay,
Nick Bosa and used sure. that aggressiveness sure. against him.
He made a bad play in the Super Bowl, no doubt.
The game
I'm
before,
not going to argue with you.
Christian McCaffrey's this first not, game, didn't
you're
they
talking
work
about
his ass
trading
out?
Nick Bosa for this. That's crazy.
No, no, not
because
for this.
Because one coach gets him.
Not for this.
I'm with you. He's not perfect. I'm just not trading him.
All right. The production.
It needs to be better, for sure. But
the production, if he gives another year like this,
sure.
We just, you keep him because he's one of the best. Is he one of the best?
No, you keep him because he's got a $95 million cap hit this year, $75 million cap hit next year, $34 million cap hit 2027, and then $14 million 2028.
Yeah, you ain't gonna be able to do nothing with him contractually.
Sure.
But, all right, well, we need to step aside so you guys can fight it out for the next 3.5 hours.
All right.
Let's do
great.
It.
We good?
Can't wait. Yes, sir. It's gonna be great.
Someone take us home.
Oh, take us
home. Go ahead, James.
Thanks for tuning in to the Insiders. Next up, D'Lo and Casey, starring Kyle Madsen today. We're brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jesse, for stepping in and filling in all morning. And we will see you tomorrow.